You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the fourth and final hour of Miller and Moulton on this Football Friday.
Football Friday.
MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Thanks so much for being with us, basking in the glow of the first round of the NFL draft and our four-hour live Twitch broadcast of the draft, which is playing to good reviews. I have to admit, I don't take compliments well, and apparently people liked it. Hell, my mom even liked it.
It was fire.
Right. It was lit. It was happening.
Was your mom was okay. You didn't shave. And that usually gets mom bothered.
And she used the stick and had us on the TV and iPads and phones. I mean, right. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was okay. I don't know. She's going to see me in a couple of weeks. So she's feeling pretty good. Okay. It's going to be Mother's Day. I'm going to see her. So she's feeling pretty good about life. Okay. But if I don't shave by Monday, all that positivity will go away.
Get her a Joe Cocker CD for Mother's Day. That should make everything better.
That missed it. We had a conversation a couple days ago about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Joe Cocker's not in it. My mother was outraged. Mark's like, oh, for goodness sakes, he sucks.
I didn't say he sucks.
No, you didn't, but you said
he's not a Hall of Famer.
No. So, also, what'd you say? His best hit was...
A remake.
Right.
I mean, his most famous song is a Beatles song.
By the way, Barry Manilow, do you know for all the songs that he wrote and for all the commercial jingles that he wrote, didn't write I Write the Songs? Which you could argue is his number one hit.
Not Copacabana?
Well, that's just it. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But maybe
that's Beauty's a great question. That could be a poll question right there. I Write the Songs or Copacabana? Not on this station, but... somewhere.
Or Mandy. Some people really like Mandy. But anyway. But by the way, State Farm jingle. Okay. He wrote it. Like a good neighbor. State Farm is there at Manilow 50 years ago.
That's got staying power.
Yeah.
That's a top 10 jingle right there.
Totally.
I go to the break room a couple times a show to get water. This is not coffee, by the way. It's water. And there's a Barry Manilow magnet on the refrigerator in the break room. I don't know why.
I'm surprised you didn't steal that, too. Everything you have in your house comes somewhere from this building.
This is a hell of a tangent we're going on here, but I'll say it again. Okay, if you ever get a chance, okay, because I took my wife, she's a fan, and she had just had hip surgery, and so I wanted to do something fun. I took her to a Barry Manilow concert at Hertz, and... the best part of his concert is when he does the 3 to 5 minute, all the commercial jingles that he wrote. And you're like, oh my goodness, you're responsible for that? Wait, that? All right. Forget the, you know, I Write the Songs and whatever. Whatever. Number one hit. Whatever. Okay. Give me a good commercial jingle. Oh, man, you're a star.
Well, and then you realize he must really love performing because when you hear all those jingles, it's like, you know, he doesn't need the money.
Right.
To perform.
No, that's... good point.
But at the time, he did, though.
No, I mean, doing it now is what you mean.
Exactly. But, so how do you think your team did? Like, I'll give you a pick I didn't like. We were talking about it during the break. I did not like the Bengals' pick of Mims. First off, I'm really concerned about Mims. Nick Saban talked about it on the draft coverage last night. How come he only started 8 games? You just took a guy 18th overall in the draft. He started 8 games. In his college career, he started 8 games. I understand, big guy, Georgia. You know, they got a good track record recently. He can't stay healthy. Nick Saban said, here's what concerns me. He said, we played them in an SEC title game. He took himself out after 15 plays. He never went back in. He goes, how hurt was he? He said, but all I know is he doesn't stay on the field. He doesn't get on the field. Am I really going to bet that this guy is going to be a productive, durable NFL player? And the other thing that concerned Nick, for what it's worth, I mean, we all make huge mistakes, But Nick said, you know, he came from a really small school where he was just far and away the biggest guy around. Nobody tested him in high school. And then he got to Georgia and he couldn't stay on the field, couldn't get on the field. I mean, I hate the Mims pick at 18. All the defensive players that the Bengals could have taken, if they wanted to take an offensive lineman, oh my goodness. Fatanu was still on the board. For goodness sakes, Morgan, Barton. I mean, I hate the Mims pick for the Bengals at 18. Now, I think the Bengals were heartbroken when Seattle took Byron Murphy at 16. I think that's who they wanted, but they couldn't take another defensive lineman. I would have taken Darius Robinson of Missouri, and I know people would have freaked. Oh, my goodness, what are you doing taking him at 18? That's too high. I'm telling you right now, Robinson has a far better career than Mims. He's a better player, and he's durable.
Love Mims pick, or Chop Robinson? Which pick concerns you more, David?
Mims. He can't get on the field. Chop just doesn't perform when he's on the field, to my liking. But he gets on the field.
The best ability is availability, right?
Right, Tony Dungy's line. Most important ability is availability. I mean, seriously, it's a first-round pick. Guy started 8 games. Was at Georgia more than 1 year. 8 games. Listen, when Nick Saban publicly is expressing concerns about a player, and these coaches don't like to rip anybody, except for Belichick and Drake May.
Belichick apparently annihilated May's footwork and did this before the Patriots took him, knowing the Patriots were going to take him. It is a schoolgirl fight between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick at the highest level right now. They are in sixth grade, and they are arguing over who has the prettier dress. It is something.
If Belichick had done this last night, and he's too professional, but after the Falcons took Penix, all right, if Belichick had said to Pat McAfee, Pat, I need a few minutes. I need to call Arthur Blank. And then Pat go, really? He goes, yeah, I want to say, so you sure you don't want me? Is it too late? I mean, because did you see the video of the GM?
Arthur staggering.
Blank walked in. Did he not walk in and say to the GM, WTF?
Exactly.
You almost wonder. It was so spontaneous and made such little sense that you almost wonder if it was a mistake.
No, it wasn't a mistake. Not to the GM, who may not be employed next week. You talk about putting your job on the line.
Right.
And then he's explaining, listen, Cousins going to be 36 in August. All right, it's the same age that Favre was. You know, Favre turned 36 in October of Rodgers' rookie year. We're doing just what Green Bay did with Rodgers. But meanwhile, what Arthur Blank's looking at him and saying is, I'm 83 years old! And the Packers had won a Super Bowl!
Yeah, Arthur Blank's like, look, man, I'll give you all the money you need. I'm 83. I just want to hoist the Lombardi. But you got to clue me in a little bit on this kind of stuff. What the hell just happened?
First off, how does the owner of the team not know who they're taking in the first round? By the way, he's 81. He turns 82 in September. But honestly, for as much fun as we make of Jerry Jones, and with a lot of good reason, and Jerry at least knows who the hell the
But Jerry's the GM owner. There's a little, I mean, Arthur Blank lets his guys run the team.
I get it. But what owner doesn't know who they're picking right before they pick them?
Apparently Atlanta's.
He walked in that room as shocked as Falcons fans were. I mean, I got to admit, if I own an NFL team, I understand I need to let the experts handle things. I think I'm entitled to ask, hey, before you put the card in, who are we writing on it?
Not to mention, you didn't at least pick up the phone with the Minnesota Vikings and trade back?
Right. You sure we can't move down to 11 and get Penix? Are you sure?
Well, and these are the moments where I am very grateful for cell phones and video, because that is a hilarious clip.
It really is.
I'm telling you, if I'm Arthur Blank, I would have walked in the room and I would have said, you do know I said no to Belichick for you morons, right? I'm going to go and check your contracts right now and see how much money I'm responsible for, because I'm going to get Belichick in here probably before round two.
Is this strike one for this GM, or is it like already you're in an 0-2, you're in an 0-2 hole?
Unbelievable. But then again, he's making the argument. Listen, we're doing what Green Bay did twice, okay? Of course, the difference is Rodgers was, what, 23 and Love was 26? I don't mean age. I mean where they were taken in the draft. The other thing is they've spent a lot of resources lately, high resources on offensive players. This was an opportunity to do something at the line of scrimmage defensively.
Which, by the way, they could have still done at 11.
Right. As it turned out, because the defensive player didn't go till 15.
I mean, we are all sitting there last night waiting for Atlanta to select a defensive player, and Penix comes out of nowhere.
That seemed like the obvious. Here's what it says to me, though. They're very confident that they can not only win that division, that's what they believe. They think they can win 12 games and compete in the NFC and maybe go to the Super Bowl. They truly believe that. If they're using the eighth pick on the future, right?
Well, they're thinking, listen, long-term security, you have to be solid at the quarterback position. They now think they'll be solid at that position for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Because 10 years from now, Penix is what, 34, 35?
Right.
Basically what Cousins is now. So they're now thinking, listen, we're solid at the most important position in the game till 2034, 2035. How much grief are you going to give me for that?
But this, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but like this is unprecedented because I just looked it up. Even the Rodgers comparison, he was picked 24th. Eighth?
I will say this, and David, this is something you talk about all the time. Atlanta believes they got Cousins. They're winning the division. They're picking in the 20s. They're never going to have the opportunity to be where they are in the draft to get the player that they were able to take.
But how funny is it that Atlanta, who has Kirk Cousins, drafted a quarterback in the top 10, and the Giants, who have Daniel Jones, didn't draft a quarterback in the top 10? Talk about two organizations looking at the exact same landscape completely differently. 21 minutes after the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Lightning in a 3-0 hole. And Mark, do you feel as if this is like Golden State, that the Lightning are in the exact same position of where the Warriors are, probably the end of their run, but Golden State still has Curry, Tampa Bay is still going to have some elite players, but does it feel like the end?
It really does, because of how they're being beat. They're simply just matched up against a team right now that's better than them in every area. And
you mean like what Tampa used to be when they played all the other teams in the East and those teams were on the losing end of the handshake line at the end? They're like, they're just deeper and better than us.
And you said something that I disagree with yesterday. You said, you know, that Vasilevskiy's A game so much better than Bob's. I don't think that's the case. I think their A games are actually equal. The difference is that Bob has a B, C, and sometimes a D game. Vasilevskiy never has that. He's more consistent. But playoff Bob is an A-minus to Vasilevskiy?
Well, yeah. I mean, if Tampa Bay is not getting a huge edge in goal with what their personnel is now, then that's a big loss for them. Which is why, for the record, you and I did not think the Lightning were going to have a long run. We thought they could win a first-round series. We didn't like the Florida matchup, though. We thought they would have been better off playing Boston.
And for the most part last night, what I was able to watch, it looked like they were, you know, that Florida was able to get the D matchups more times than not they wanted against the Kucherov and point line. And Tampa is a really solid team. The slip won't be as dramatic as I think what Golden State, you know, just about missing the playoffs this year, forced to the play-in. Tampa's still going to be a playoff team next year.
Are we sure Stamkos is coming back? You do know their next loss, he's no longer under contract. Which means that he's not, they don't have a lot of cap room. And as soon as they lose one more game, he ain't counting against the cap anymore.
David got the Dolphin fans riled up earlier, and now he's getting the Tampa Bay Lightning
up. Hold on now. Okay, best player in franchise history. Steven Stamkos?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. And that's saying something because, you know, they've had Hall of Famers, and he's playing with about four of them. So it's a legitimate question, best player in Lightning history. But I agree. It's Stammer. Mark, what does he wear on his jersey?
He wears the Captain C. Kind of a big deal.
In that sport, it's a very big deal. And they're going to ask him to take a significant discount. How would you feel?
Just how betrayed, would you feel if you're bewildered.
Yeah, right. How would you feel if you're Stamkos? By the way, did you just score 40 this year?
And other teams will pay him. That's the other part of it. They're going to want him to take a discount. He'll be able to get far more on the open market than what Tampa's going to be able to pay him.
Now, he's not the two-way player that he was at all. In fact, I think Stamkos was minus 20 this year. Now, he's not Ovechkin bad as a two-way player anymore, but he's not the two-way player that he was. But also, I think he was asked to do too much this year. They don't have the horses like they had to. I think Cooper had to play him more and in more spots than ideally you would. But you're right, Mark. There's contenders out there. What do you think Carolina would pay for Steven Stamkos? What's Carolina missing? Steven Stamkos. What do you think the Rangers would pay to get their hand?
Hey.
They'd trade Jacob Trouba yesterday to put Stamkos on that team.
What would Detroit pay? No, I'm not messing around.
Yeah, no,
they're a team that's on the come trying to make the playoffs. What are they missing?
Because I don't think they're bringing Kane back.
They should.
Now, obviously, you know, he's only played one place. Loves it in Tampa. He's retiring there. Even if he ends his career somewhere else, he's retiring in Tampa. He ain't going anywhere. The weather, the taxes, the lifestyle, the whole deal. But they're going to ask him to take a significant cut. You're a legend. You're the best player in franchise history. I'm the flipping captain.
How many cups? Two?
Four finals. By the way, the first cup, all right, he who had no business playing, had major surgery, had no business playing, played, scored the game-winning goal in game six to win the cup.
He's tougher than nails.
Yes.
He really is.
He's
for an elite scoring player, he's
the soul of the team. Are we sure we're going there for Tampa?
I think he's back in Tampa. For what it's worth.
Who do you think has the hand? I mean, this GM made no bones about it. He broke off negotiations a year and a half ago. He's just like, nah, we'll play this out. I mean, listen.
When Toronto gets beat by Boston, they wouldn't want him in they wouldn't want a leader like that in Toronto.
Oh my goodness.
I mean,
Mitch Marner or Steven Stamkos?
Oh, come on. Mitch Marner's soft as baby poo.
Exactly. And in the playoffs does nothing.
Because he's soft.
I'm with you. I'll take an older, slower Stamkos yesterday. Totally.
But, David, to your point, I think that's an interesting wrinkle in this, is that the current GM for the Lightning is not the guy who built the teams that won the Cups.
Well, but he's actually – he inherited –
He's been there.
He's responsible for a good chunk of this roster, though.
Yes, but he is.
But he took it over. My point is,
there's
just
no doubt. Eisenman built the foundation, but he's the one that he was there when they got over the hump.
But
they
if
got
he's
to the finals with Stevie Y, but they got over the hump with the current guy.
And if they're going to turn the page, that would be one heck of a way to start it, by either but asking Stamkos to take a pay cut or not bringing him back, which they will. But
and you know, I made the Golden State Tampa Bay Lightning analogy. And so people are going to bring up Clay Thompson, Steven Stamkos. No, 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 no. Stamkos is much closer to Steph than Clay Thompson. Much closer. I'm just saying, one more loss, he's a free agent. And the Lightning have not seriously negotiated with him for a year and a half. Clearly the GM has an idea about the future. I'm only going to bring him back at a certain rate. You're Stamkos. First off, you took a discount to stay. All those guys did. Hedman, Vasilevsky, Stamkos, they all took $2, $3 million a year less to stay. The Lightning sold them on, let's keep this group together. No state taxes. Okay? Where would you want to be? We're going to win. The lifestyle. They all took less. McDavid didn't take less. Stamkos, I mean, Matthews ain't taking less. Stamkos took a lot less.
Right. He's got 3 goals in 3 games in the playoffs, too.
He's doing his part.
I don't know how you let him go.
I'm with you. But the GM doesn't seem moved.
The GM's trying to rebuild this on the fly and doesn't want to do it with Stamkos.
Or doesn't want to do it paying him $8 plus million a year. And Stamkos is looking at him going, you do know I have about 600 goals, right? I just scored 40. By the way, who's been a bigger factor in this series, me or Braden Point?
Who?
Me or Kucherov?
Right.
I'm sorry. How old am I again? I needed to get that out there because they might the season might be over by the next time we're on the air. That's all. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today was a boost, a sprinkle, whatever. It is the home stretch. 22 minutes till the top of the hour. 16 until we're out of here. We used to call it the Diamond District bonus hour. Well, for Jacksonville and Southwest Florida, it is. It's the fourth hour that no one else gets. So I guess we can still go with Diamond District bonus hour.
Absolutely, right? We can.
Okay.
Mother's Day's coming up. Another reason to go to the Diamond District.
And you can win Mother's Day just like Mark won Christmas months ago at the Diamond District.
If you win either Christmas or Valentine's Day, do you have to win Mother's Day?
You should.
I get that. I know. I mean, you know, constant marriage is a lot like, you know, recruiting. You're constantly recruiting your roster. You are. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's just that hopefully your marriage has more than 4 or 5 years of eligibility. Okay. So, yes.
You're looking for that second and third contract, if you know what
right.
I mean.
You're looking for more than that. Okay. Unless you're going really long term with those contracts.
Well, they're baseball contracts.
Oh, okay. So they're fully guaranteed is what you're saying. That's fantastic.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. I was just wondering, though, if you've won Christmas and or Valentine's Day, do you then have to come back and win Mother's Day?
Probably not, but it's you want a medal.
There's a lot less pressure on Mother's Day, right? If you win Christmas and or Valentine's Day. But that doesn't mean you should just take it off.
It depends. You know, moms are like dads in this sense. We want different things for our day. Sometimes we want TLC. Now make me feel special. Okay. Sometimes it's like, you know, it'd be really great. Leave me alone.
Yeah. I think part of my wife's dream Mother's Day would be for me to take my daughter and leave the house for the entire day and just let her have the place to herself in quiet.
Would it make it like a weekend? Like maybe you take her Friday night and go. And so she gets a Friday night, all day Saturday night, and you come back and you show up at like church Sunday.
That I think that would be an ideal weekend for my wife.
And then, you know, you do the church, you go out and you eat. You've got some flowers for her.
A better idea for my wife would be this show to sell a few sponsorships. And her work one day less. I think that would be the ideal Mother's Day.
So, didn't realize Mother's Day somehow involved Miller and Moulton.
It's amazing how these things happen.
Once again, we are negatively affecting a lot of things, aren't we? Our lack of success is really getting in the way, isn't it?
It's becoming a disturbing trend, David.
Oh, is that what we are? 18 years, we're a trend? Is that it? I mean, listen, I understand she wants this show to be more successful. A, so do we. But B, I mean, you look at her and go, you know, I was with David when we met. I mean, you know, this has kind of been, you know, I mean, this isn't new. You know, we were joined at the hip when we met. You signed on. I don't know what to tell you. This is your fault.
You guys are almost on your third baseball contract. 18 years, right?
Yeah.
When are you going
to
start?
We're looking for one long-term contract left. That's right. It.
We're like Stammer, though. Okay? We're looking for one more deal for the Lightning. Not sure if we're going to get it.
It's time for someone to take back this segment. If for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Man, I've got to tell you, this is the messiest writing I've ever had for this. I wonder why. We start in 1931. Lou Gehrig hits a home run, but in rounding the bases, passes a runner that's on base and is called out. It would cost him the home run crown for the season as he would end up tying Ruth for the number of home runs in the year. Today in 1961, Roger Maris hits his first of 61 home runs on the season.
Think about that. He didn't homer till late April. I mean, the season started like 2 weeks earlier. He got off to a slow start that year. Also hit 13 home runs against the two expansion teams. It was the first year the American League expanded in a long time. 13 of his 61 homers were against two new teams.
Red Auerbach retires from the Celtics today in 66 as head coach.
Gave the gig to Russell.
1983, John Elway selected number one overall by the Colts.
It's a great 30 for 30. It really is.
The Chernobyl disaster began today in 1986. The baseball season began today in 1995.
Right. It didn't start on time after the 94 strike.
2008, the Miami Dolphins select Jake Long with the first overall pick of the draft.
Instead of Matt Ryan. But see, everybody, you know, they go 11-5. They win the division. You know, Tony Sperano and what was the offense?
The Wildcat.
Wildcat and, you know, won the division over the Patriots and Brady because Brady got hurt. And everybody said Parcells and everybody were a genius. And they didn't have a winning season together again, Parcells and Sperano. And Atlanta still had Matt Ryan.
Andrew Luck selected first overall today in 2012. Baker Mayfield selected first overall in 2018. And also today in 2018, Bill Cosby was found guilty. Carol Burnett is 91 years old today, and Aaron Judge is 32. And that's all I've got. What did I miss, David?
All right, a couple of things. First of all, I just want to tell Carol Burnett jokes. I don't want to give, you know. She described labor pains as take your bottom lip and pull it over your head. All right. Carol Burnett says, if you talk to God, you're religious. If God talks to you, you're schizophrenic. All right. I'll stop there. Studio 54 opened today in 77.
Did your mom ever go to Studio 54? I know you didn't. I just
don't believe so. I'll ask her. I don't believe so. My mom was not. It's funny. She was into the Village People, went to the Garden dressed as one of the Village People to see the Village People.
Which
but you got to remember, 79, 80, 81, I mean, you know, we're doing a lot of drugs in this country.
I just, you
people
know.
People getting dressed up as an Indian or a construction worker riding the subway into the city, people didn't even blink. So, and, you know, those two lovebirds, Maria Shriver, Arnold Schwarzenegger, happy anniversary. Are they still together? Because, you know, she's very Catholic. I don't know if she's officially divorced him or not. Okay. Happy 38th anniversary. Okay, so you haven't been together for 10 years and he fathered a child with your maid. But happy anniversary. No?
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
Gold is falling from the sky. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
$6,000 worth of gold is falling from the sky every single day. The only problem, it's coming off of an active volcano in Antarctica. But tiny crystals of gold are spewing from this volcano. And scientists say it's about 80 grams of gold a day that's worth about $6,000.
So let me get this straight. We were just talking about how Miller & Moulton's not successful enough. We're not generating enough revenue. So if we take this show on the road and we go to Antarctica, all right, we get a power supply and some internet, we do the show, and then we go out and we catch the gold.
Let's ask David Sampson. He'd probably be game to go.
He'd probably run a marathon while we were hoisting the gold. Yes, exactly.
I mean, for $6,000 a day, now I'm assuming that's the whole day. We're obviously, I'd still $3,000-$4,000 a day, Mark. I don't know about you, but I could split that.
Absolutely. Really, for the bad
one. Okay, so we have to go to Antarctica, all right?
Right.
And I have to admit, that's problematic. That's not ideal. Okay, and you know, it's funny, when you live in Florida, you snowbird, but very rarely do people snowbird with Antarctica. It's usually Michigan or Ohio.
Just keep going south.
For the bad, we go to Everett, Washington, where an Everett woman drove to the ferry booth in an RV and shut the whole ferry down because she was going to drive the ferry into the water. Police were called. They eventually had to shoot pepper ball rounds through an open window to get her out of the RV, where she was evaluated and transported to the hospital for a mental health evaluation. She was given a DUI on the scene as well.
So the RV on the ferry was going to sink the ferry?
They wouldn't let her on the ferry, so she threatened to drive it off the dock. Shut down the ferry for 3 hours. Finally, the ugly. We come a little closer to home and go to Glades County, where Joshua Kolatka was under investigation for stealing a boat. He tried to leave his residence disguised as a woman, and police found him and arrested him while in disguise. The wig and the dress look fantastic on the 33-year-old. Apparently, not only did he steal a boat, he also stole a John Deere tractor. Or a John Deere Gator.
So is that what gave it away? The dress and the wig is fine in a boat, but the tractor was just a bad look?
Totally. And that, David, is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, April the 26th, 2024.
Everybody's playing in baseball. Marlins are home for the Nats. And they're a heavy favorite. Should a 6-20 team be a heavy favorite against anybody not named the White Sox?
No.
The Rays are on the road. They're on the south side in Chi-Town. By the way, speaking of Chicago, Caleb Williams sold more jerseys last night than Caitlin Clark did.
That's pretty good.
That's impressive. Tells me Chicago's all in. Rays against the White Sox. White Sox have lost 7 in a row. They're 3-22. Tampa's -230. You sure we don't want to bet the Sox?
I was going to say we want to bet the Rays. What are you? Are you kidding me? How many games have the White Sox won?
That would be three.
Three, David.
I know. They're going to win their fourth before this month's over. I can feel it. So there's actually two really terrific series. You could argue one of them, in fact, maybe both of them. Couple World Series previews. Cleveland and Atlanta. They already, hey, the Guardians are 18-7. The Braves are 17-6. These are the two best records in baseball.
The Guardians are playing way over their skis.
Okay.
In my opinion, I don't know.
Here's the deal, though. They're already 11 games above 500. If they play one game over 500 the rest of the year, that's 87 wins. How many wins do you think it's going to take to win the Central?
85.
See, that's the problem with a great start like that. They play 500. They play a game over 500, 87 wins, one game under, 86. Is Detroit or Minnesota going to get to that? I don't think the Twins got there last year. Didn't they win it with 85 last year?
They did.
Yankees, Brewers, by the way, second best records in each league. Yankees are in Milwaukee. They played in the World Series when it was the Yankees and the Milwaukee Braves some 65 years ago. But so anyway, two good baseball series if you're interested. Got the hockey. All right. I mean, you know, come on now. Got four games. Rangers 2 up on Washington in Washington. Vancouver, Nashville's 1-1. Vancouver's goalie's out for the playoffs, apparently, Demko. Winnipeg, Colorado's 1-1. Series shifts to Colorado. Edmonton, LA Kings 1-1. Series shifts to LA. NBA 3 games tonight. Right now, my $20 to win the series. Bucks or Pacers? Who you taking?
Pacers.
Bucks.
You know, they're not sure Giannis is going to play again in this.
Correct.
Remember, this is the same calf injury that KD had that he tried to nurse his way through when he came back in the 2019 finals. And what happened?
Blew out his Achilles.
Right. Clippers in Dallas, 1-1. Series shifts to Dallas. And Phoenix going to get back in the series against the T-Wolves? It's in Phoenix. Minnesota up 2 spit.
I think they'll win one of the two home games, but I think this will be done in 5.
If you like the T-Wolves tonight, they're boosted, plus 185 on the money line to take a 3-0 lead in the series.
Boy, I'll tell you what, KD, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal go out in 5 in the first round. Hoo-wee. Have a great weekend. Rounds 2 and 3 of the draft tonight as well. We'll talk again Monday. Miller and Moulton.